Shalom Aleichem for Parshas Korach. We have 5 Divrei Torah. We're going to take 3 from the Parsha and 2 from the Haftarah. On a high level, the Parsha deals primarily and significantly with the rebellion of Korach against his cousins Moshe and Aaron. Korach indeed recruited a number of other leaders on his behalf to rebel in addition to himself. And that's how the Parsha begins, that Korach took, in addition to himself, Dasan and Aviram, etc., etc., Vayikum lifnei Moshe. And they came and they attacked the authority and leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. Another 250 people joined them. These were people who were leaders. Vayikalu al Moshe val Aaron, vayomru alem rav lachem. They came, and their main claim against Moshe and Aaron is, you took too much authority, you two brothers, it should have been divided between other people. And in fact, he called Ha'ida Kulam Kedoshim, we are all holy. We all have connections to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why should you be in charge? We should take on leadership roles in your stead. So on a high level, we see the rebellion of Korach against the authority of Moshe and Aaron, not only Korach, but others as well. And in that vein, Rav Naftali Mirovshitz used to make a drasha on a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Vav, pasuk Tezayin, that goes as follows, Vayikne'u leMoshe b'machaneh, that they were jealous of Moshe in the camp, le'aharon kedosh Hashem, and also jealous of Aaron, the Holy One of Hashem. And Rav Naftali used to say as follows, that the way of people who like to cause problems, that they are constantly involved in machlokis, in rebellion, in debate, in controversy, in starting up with the norms and starting up with the authorities that be, is as follows, that no matter what that leader does, and we're talking about good leaders, tzaddikim, no matter what direction that tzaddik goes in, they're going to find a problem with his leadership, with his character traits, with his authority, how he spends his time. And it goes as follows. If we have a certain leader, a certain tzaddik could be the Gadol Hador who is separated from this world. All he does is learn day in, day out. He's involved in Torah. He's involved in learning. He's involved in his avoda and davening, etc. They're going to still have issues with him. And they're going to say, look at him. He's an ascetic. He's just himself. He's not involved in the normal world. He's not involved in this world and helping people. It's all about his learning. And he could be the greatest tzaddik. And he could be learning Yomam V'layla Torah and have great kavana. He's just a tzaddik of the good old door. They're going to have problems with him. Why does he do so much of that? He should do more of this. And on the other hand, if they have somebody who is involved in the tzibur and he's constantly involved in the needs of the tzibur, and he's helping people and assisting and doing chesed and doing this and doing that, they're going to make claims against him. This guy, this tzaddik here, why is he always involved in the Torah Chitzibur? Why doesn't he sit and learn a little bit? Why doesn't he take some hours and learn? And why doesn't he have better kavanah davening, who's always running here, running there, helping people? No matter what, if we have a great tzaddik, these people are balei machlokas, because they're going to have issues with him. And based on that, Rav Naftali made the drush on his pasuk as follows, Vayiknu leMoshe b'machaneh, they were jealous of Moshe in the machaneh. Moshe Rabbeinu was the person who was constantly learning Torah. He was constantly in the tent of Torah. That was his main focus. That was a significant amount of his time. And they said, what's with him? Why isn't he involved with people in the machaneh? Why isn't he involved with the people of Klal Yisrael and the needs of those of Klal Yisrael? So that was their claim. They had a great tzaddik, a great leader, constantly learning with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and teaching Torah. And they said, Vayiknu leMoshe, they were jealous of him b'machaneh because he wasn't in the machaneh. He was always in the ohel learning Torah, but he wasn't in the machaneh with other people. And conversely, when it came to Aaron, Aaron was known that he was an ohev shalom v'rodev shalom. He was always involved in helping people, and he was running to help and make peace between people and console people. He was always involved with the needs of the tzibur. Each individual he loved and cared for. And when it came to Aaron, Aaron Kadosh Hashem, the claim was, Aaron, he's always in the machaneh. He should be a Kadosh Hashem. He should be involved in learning, and he should be involved. He's a kohen gadol. He should be involved in ruchnius more than he is. He's always involved with people. And we see here that that's the concept. Korach and his Ada, whoever wants to look for a machlokas to rebel, they're going to find a reason, and they're going to create a reason. And it can be against the greatest tzaddikim, but the tzaddikim are in a no-win situation because people are going to create tainas against them. And in fact, Rav Naftali added on that originally there were charedim or yeshiva bachers, people who are constantly learning, and then people started making claims against them. They're batlanim. Why are they just learning and they're not contributing to society? And then when they started contributing to society, and it could be involved in tzatzalah and other organizations, and the claim is, why are they always involved in Yanai Tzibor? Let them go back to the base measure. It's a similar thing that people always need to complain, and they're going to find a problem no matter what. Unfortunately, that is what is represented by Korach and his Eda. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 2. We see that Moshe Rabbeinu attempted to appeal to Korach. Korach, let's try to work things out. Let's sit down and discuss. We understand you have gripes and issues. And come, let's have a civil conversation. Korach refused. And now Moshe turns to Dathan and Aviram, another two of the great rebellers. Great as in they were prominent beforehand. It's not great that they rebelled, and they weren't great people, as we saw that they were rebelling. And it says in Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, this is our second Dvar Torah, Vayishlach Moshe Likro LeDathan LeAvira. Moshe summons them. Let's sit and have a conversation. Let's have a peace conference. And Rashi comments as follows, an interesting comment, Mikan Shein Machzikim B'Machlokas. From here we learn that you shouldn't be machzik. You shouldn't stay in a machlokas. You should make attempts to get along. And even if you're not the person causing the problems, somebody else is rebelling and is causing the issue, still making an attempt to reach an understanding. And the drasha goes as follows from the Gaon Mahari Mivorki, as follows. This language of Rashi, Mikan Shein Machzikim B'Machlokas, is based on the word chazaka. And the concept here is ein chazaka b'machlokas. Oftentimes there's a chazaka means that something happened once, happened twice, happened three times. You can assume it's going to continue happening. That's a chazaka. It's been established three times. Three is a charm, whatever the language is, whatever the three, you assume it's a chazak, it's going to happen. It happened before, that's what's going to be. When it comes to machlokas, there's no chazak. And what that means, it's prohibited to say, because this happened once, twice, and three times, I made many attempts to bridge the gap with these people, made many attempts to have them stop whatever nefarious deeds they're doing, and they ignored me so many times. And there's a machlokas that's continuing, and you can say, and it would be human nature to say, it's futile make any more attempts with these people. You have to remember, ein chazaka b'machlokas, we should not say that there's a chazaka b'machlokas, but rather we continue attempting, trying to bridge the gap, trying to bring on peace with those individuals. And that's what we see here with Moshe Rabbeinu. He was attempting, he was trying a terrible rebellion against, an affront, an attack against him, his authority that was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the authority of Aaron as the Kohen Gadol. And we have people raising and complaining and rebelling for no reason whatsoever. Nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu continued his attempts to try to bridge the gap and to reach an understanding with these people who were 100% wrong. And that's why it says, Ma'ishlach Moshe Ledas Mavar, Moshe Rabbeinu attempted, he called them, let's sit down. And that's Rashi's lesson. Mikan Shein Machzikim B'Machlokas, Ein Chazaka B'Machlokas. You can't ever say there's a Machlokas, there's a Chazaka B'Machlokas. You always have to make attempts to get along, and even if it failed many times, keep on trying. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3. We're going to look into some psukim now. It's Perek Tet Zayin. Now we're going to start in Pasuk Chavches as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu says as follows, and he'll start in the Hebrew, Vayom Moshe, Bezos Teidun, after all the fights and rebellion. And now Moshe Rabbeinu says, there's not going anywhere with these people, and they keep on fighting and complaining, etc. Bezost, Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, through this you shall know that Hashem sent me to perform all these acts. I didn't take on the responsibilities and authority and rulership and leadership by myself. It came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not from me. It's not from my heart. I didn't make this up that I'm supposed to be leading Klal Yisrael. Aaron's supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. If these die like the death of men, talking about the rebellers, if they die in the normal fashion, and the destiny of all men is visited upon them, then it is not Hashem who sent me. If they die a normal death, that's the preposterous of what it's saying here. If they did normal, they die a normal death, it's not me. But if Hashem will create a phenomenon, and the ground will open its mouth and swallow them, and all that is theirs, and they will descend alive to the pit, then you shall know that these men have provoked Niatsu, they have provoked the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So those are very powerful words. And Chazal, interestingly, learned in the Gemara Nedarim that there is a remez here, there is a hint here for the mitzvah Bikur Cholim, that there's a mitzvah when somebody is sick, that we should go and be mevaker to visit that individual. So the question is, why specifically here do we have a remez, do we have a source, a hint to the mitzvah Bikur Cholim? What is going on here? So a little bit background. Says the Malaya Omer as follows, that until Yaakov Avinu's time, there was never choli ba'olam. There wasn't sickness. When a person's time came to pass away, they passed away. But there was no sickness until Yaakov Avinu said, have rachamim on us. It wasn't an onus, it wasn't a punishment sickness, but rather Yaakov Avinu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please have mercy on us. When somebody is going to be passing away, in advance of that, send some sickness, send some signs so that individual will know that their time is coming and they'll be chozer b'tshuva. That's a sign. Somebody is not well, and it's a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please do tshuva because the end is coming. And the concept here is that those, the task, the tafkid of those who go to visit that person who is sick, Alpi Musar, not Alpi Halacha, but Alpi Musar, is to indeed inspire the person to do tshuva, to repent. That's what the concept is. Go mivaka cholim. Alpi Halacha, we go mivaka, we'll take care of the physical needs of the individual. Do you want food? Do you want chocolate? Do you need anything that we can help you with? Can we help you move in the bed? Whatever needs that the individual may have. But Alpi Musar, it's also to inspire the person to do tshuva. So when it came to the aid of Korach, those who were rebelling, Korach and the leaders, they were what we call, their phrase is chote umachti. Somebody who's a sinner, but not only a sinner as a principle, as himself sinning, but also is enabling and causing others to sin as well. That's chote, that's the person who sins. Umachti causes others to sin, and it wasn't only one or two other people, it was chote umachti as harabim. Somebody who causes the rabim, the tzibur, to sin, Ein maspikin biyadom lasas tshuva, who Chazal tell us that they do not have the ability to do tshuva. If it was just them that sinned, if they were just chotim, they can do tshuva. But if you cause others to sin, especially the rabim, the damage cannot be fixed because you have caused so many people to sin. What are you going to enable people? It's very difficult to get everyone to change their mind and go back on the sins that they did. That's a choti umachti. You're not able to do tshuva for having caused everyone harm by sinning. So accordingly, there is no basis, there's no toelis when it comes to Korach and his Eda to get sick in advance of dying. Because the whole concept here of somebody getting sick, as we explained before, is somebody gets sick in advance of their patira, in advance of dying, in advance of that. That is a warning that they should do tshuva. But Korach and his Eda, they don't have the ability to do tshuva. So Moshe Rabbeinu here is saying as follows: if you see, if these people die in the normal fashion, which means that they get sick in advance, and people will do Bikur Cholim, and the concept of the Bikur Cholim is that they would be Chozer B'tshuva, you should know, Lo Hashem Shlachani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't send me. Because these are people, they won't get sick in advance, they're just going to die suddenly, because they have no ability to do tshuva. And if it's not the case, if they do get sick in advance of their patira, you know Hashem didn't send me, because we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them a warning sign to do tshuva. However, continues the pasuk, that if they die in an unusual fashion, not that they were sick in advance, but a bizarre, unusual fashion that they die, you will know, ki niatsua nashima eles, and you know what, they have provoked and offended HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is why they're not having the opportunity to do tshuva in advance of their being killed. Accordingly, now we understand the psukim beautifully, says Milaya Omer, if it's the normal way that they die, if they were sick in advance, you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't send me, I'm not the leader. But if it's an unusual occurrence and they don't get sick in advance, so they don't have the ability to do tshuva, because they were chote umachti, we see how wrong they were, then you know that they offended HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that indeed, Moshe says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed me and Aaron to be the leaders of Klal Yisrael. Now we are moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4, and this is going to be from the Haftorah. We read it in Shmuel Aleph, talking about authority. So there we have the discussion of Klal Yisrael, in advance of it actually, that Klal Yisrael had the Nevi'im for many, many years. And at a certain point, Klal Yisrael, at the time of Shmuel, Hanavi, said, we want a king like everyone else. We want a king. So Shmuel consulted with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they agreed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, give him a king. It's not the right thing, but give him a king, especially because they want to be like the non-Jews. That is not a right thing. But nonetheless, Shmuel, as the advisor, as the emissary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he indeed says, okay, we're going to have a king. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you should anoint Shaul HaMelech. And that's what he did. And at the time when it became public that Shaul HaMelech was the king, there were actually some people, it's talked about in the Navi, that said, you must be kidding. We're not on board. We don't accept him as our leader. We don't think he's cut out for the role. And he wasn't fully accepted as the Melech. Afterward, he was. When he led Klal Yisrael in Milchama, when he was very successful, then it came around. Everyone said, oh, this is the king that we want. Even those who had been critical in the first time around, they said, okay, we're in as well. So the Admor Migur says as follows. First, we'll say Rashi. So on that pasuk, lechuven elcha ha-gilgal, this is our in Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk Yud Aleph, Shmuel Aleph, lechuven elcha ha-gilgal, v'nechadesh ha-mamlucha. Shmuel Anavi says, let's go to the Gilgal, and we're going to be mechadesh. We're going to reinstitute the malucha. We are going to reappoint Shaul. Why do we have to reappoint him? He was appointed already. So Rashi says, lefisha you ordering. There people who are criticizing. There are people who say, we're not accepting him. And accordingly, they reinstituted the melucha, the malchus of Shaul. So what's going on? So the Admor Migur says as follows. In Rosh Hashanah, we say malchus. We're not talking about the Navi right now. We're not talking about Shaul, Melech, and Shmuel, and Navi. Let's talk about Rosh Hashanah. We have the malchus. One of the primary, if not the primary, avoda, the davening that we have, is malchus, that we indeed enthrone HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon us. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Imru lifani malchus, kideshi tamlichuni aleichem. You should say malchus in order to enthrone HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the king upon Klal Yisrael. And the question is asked by the Admor Migur as follows, each and every day, we are mekabel o malchus shemai. That's the kriya shema, shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And then we think, I'm being mekabel o malchus shemai. I'm accepting upon myself the yoke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every day, not only every day, twice a day in the kriya shema alone and other times as well. So why do we have to have this whole tefillah comes Rosh Hashanah of malchus, a malchus, saying we are mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon us. And he explains as follows. Let's look back at this Rashi. We're talking now about Shaul and Shmuel, and initially we had Shmuel Hanavi appointing Shaul a Melech, and some people agreed and some people didn't. We have Orerin, we had people who were complaining. They were mirroring Orerin, they were criticizing. They're saying, no, we're not accepting him as the Melech. And accordingly, when you have that situation, you have to do it again. Everyone's got to be on board when you have a Melech, so we're going to redo it again. We're going to reinstitute the Melucha a second time now that everyone is in acknowledgement that he's the king. And the same thing applies when it comes to our Mekabel O Malchus Shemaim each and every day. We're Mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say Shemaim Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But each day, and it comes Rosh Hashanah at the time of Mishpat, at the time of Din, our Yetzer Hara kicks in and say, oh, we don't want to have full acceptance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have attacking going on in our head, and it could be external attacks as well, saying this is not the Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And accordingly, we have to say, even though we're Mekabel O Malchus Shemayim, maybe we did had a deficiency in how we did it, and it wasn't a full, and we didn't have full Kavana, and we didn't have full seriousness. Comes Rosh Hashanah, this is the time to say Malchus. We accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon ourselves full-heartedly, 100%, and we're going to put any detractions out of our mind, and this is the time to fully accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like reinstituting the Malchus of Shaul HaMelech, everyone's on board, so too here. Comes Rosh Hashanah, everyone, get on board, everyone's on board. Let's say Malchus to be Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon us. And now we're moving forward to Vort number 5. We have a changing of the guard. That's what's going on. Shmuel Hanavi was very elderly. He's at the end of his life. And Klal Yisrael said, your children, They're not taking over. They're not like you. And so we're going to have a melech. And they preferred a melech. L'chatkila, we want a melech. So we have a changing of the guard. And it was somewhat of an attack against Shmuel, the Navi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shmuel, it's not an attack against you. It's an attack against me. It's an attack against what should be the ideal rulership and leadership of Klal Yisrael. And now Shmuel makes a speech. At the end of his being the Navi, he says, Claudius, I want to make sure that everyone's understanding, and let's have a discussion about how I manage things. Did I take anything from anyone that I shouldn't have? Did I use anyone's chamor as transportation? Did I borrow anyone's car and not pay for it? Did I take any spiffs? Did I take any? Did I use any expenditures on the Claudius that I shouldn't have? And he says as follows in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Gimel, Miyad, Mila Kachti Kover. Who did I take redemption money from? Who did I take any money from? And then, because of that, Vali Mei Naibo, I wouldn't pay such attention to any nefarious deeds that he did. And if people came to judge me, maybe I took money from somebody and I wouldn't judge him in the negative. I'd judge him favorably because I took money. Is there anyone who can make that claim? Is there anyone out there who said I took anything inappropriately, improperly? That is the speech, and no one says you took money from us, you took anything from us. He was clean as clean could be. The Avos Yehonasan says as follows, the halacha. There's a halacha that anyone who disgraces a Talmud Chacham, he has to pay him. He has to pay him a certain amount of gold. That is what he has to pay, reparations for having disgraced a Talmud Chacham. And the Talmud Chacham, in fact, can act in self-help, and he's permitted to take the gold by himself from that individual. And in addition, if he, in lieu of the gold, that Talmud Chacham has the ability to punish that individual, even just by looking at him. B'mabat einav, he stares at him. This is actually brought down in a number of places by Chazal. Discussions in the Gemara that somebody offends another, a number who is a great sage, a great Talmud Chacham. It says, Nasan einav bo v'naseh gal shel atzamos. The Talmud Chacham who was disgraced, he looked at him, he stared at him with his eyes. And that individual who provoked and offended him, he became a pile of bones. So we see here that there are two options here for the Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham gets paid if he's disgraced, or he can punish the individual simply by gazing, staring, and looking at him. And accordingly, the effect of that money, when somebody offends, disgraces the Talmud Chacham, is redemption. It's a kofer nefesh. He's redeeming himself from punishment. So let me make amends. Let me pay you a certain amount. And he's effectively buying himself out of being punished by that Talmud Chacham by staring at him. And accordingly, if we look at the pasuk as follows, says the Avos Yehonasan, this is what Shmuel Hanavi said to Klai, so umiyan mi lakachti kofer, even though somebody may have offended me and it disgraced me. Did I take kofer, that redemption money, from anyone? Did I take that payment from anyone? Even if I were disgraced, I didn't take it from anyone. And even though I didn't take it from anyone, and that would give me the ability when somebody disgraced me, I could look at him, stare at him, and punish them. In addition, not only did I not take the kofer, but I avoided staring at that person. I avoided punishing that individual totally, even though that's the halacha. When you disgrace a Talmud Chacham, and Shmuel was the great Talmud Chacham of the time, that's the halacha. You disgrace such a person, pay, redeem yourself from it, or you get punished. Here in this pasuk, we have Shmuel and Avi saying, not only did I not use the transportation provided Klal Yisrael, I provided my own transportation. I didn't take any benefits and spiffs from the company, from Klal Yisrael at all, but umiyad mila kachti kofra, I took no redemption money, even when you disgraced me, and in addition, even if I didn't take the money, so I had the ability to punish the person by looking at him and staring, I avoided doing that. I did not look with my eyes as well. And that's the sign of great leadership. Somebody who's clean, totally clean, squeaky clean, financially not taking any benefits and spliffs from Klal Yisrael. In addition, even when he is disgraced by others, he lets it dust off of him and he doesn't take retribution for the individual. Sometimes you have to, indeed sometimes you do, but we see Shmuel was on another level, an unbelievable level that he did not. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful day.